Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Hatton from Jerusalem. And welcome back to our studies on Sefer Yonah as part of this Pardes podcast series. Recall that last time we considered the general issue of Haftarot, which is to say, sections from the Hebrew prophets that are read as the conclusion to the Torah service. Sefer Yonah is, of course, the conclusion to the Torah service for the afternoon of Yom Kippur. The Torah reading in the afternoon of Yom Kippur is taken from Sefer Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, and the Haftarah for Yom Kippur in the afternoon is the book of Jonah. Recall also that I mentioned that there are multiple interpretations as to what exactly the linkage is between Sefer Yonah and the afternoon service of Yom Kippur, with one popular interpretation claiming that it has to do with the general idea of repentance, which colors the day of Yom Kippur, and certainly is central to the story of the book of Jonah, as we will see. And another line of interpretation which says it's more about the idea of Jonah discovering his mission and how that becomes possible after intense reflection and introspection. Certainly an appropriate Yom Kippur theme. Before we actually begin the study of the book, we're going to consider its location in the Hebrew Bible. It is located in a less well-known corner of the Hebrew Bible. It's drawn from Sefer Yonah, the book of Jonah, is drawn from the Nevi'im, from the prophets, which is the second major division of the Hebrew Bible. Remember that the Hebrew Bible is divided into three separate sections. The first is the Torah, the Pentateuch, or the five books of Moses, the Chumash. The second section is the Nevi'im, or the prophets. And the third section is the Ketuvim, or the holy writings. So the book of Jonah is located in the second section, the prophets. I should just point out that in the Hebrew Bible, the Nevi'im are divided into two main sections. The first section is written in prose and essentially describes a linear story of Israelite history from the entry into the land under Joshua until the destruction of the temple, first temple that is, by the Babylonians about 1,000 years later. That story, call it, if you will, the rise and fall of the first Jewish commonwealth, is recounted in the books of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. Joshua describes the entry into the land and the tentative attempts to set down roots. Judges describes some of the challenges associated with that process, which lasted hundreds of years. Samuel describes the beginning of monarchy in ancient Israel. And Kings describes what happens after David dies, Solomon becomes king, the temple is built, the kingdom divides, and ultimately it will be destroyed at the end of the book of Kings by the Babylonians. That is essentially a linear story which is recounted in prose. That is the first part, the first section of Nevi'im. Sometimes it is referred to, confusingly, as Nevi'im Rishonim. But we shouldn't understand that to mean first prophets. It's more like the first part of this section of the Hebrew Bible. The second section of prophets, let's call it Nevi'im Achronim. Again, even though that's a confusing term, the second part of the section of prophets of Nevi'im in the Hebrew Bible consists of a series of works written in poetry that describe many of the social and religious and spiritual challenges associated with ancient Israel. These books include the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, and the book of Ezekiel, the book of Yechezkel. I should just point out that Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel were all active during the later part of the book of Kings, which is to say, chronologically speaking, Isaiah is really active before the book of Kings concludes. He is active during the 8th century or the 9th century BCE when the Assyrian Empire is ascendant. Jeremiah is active when the Babylonians are ascendant and actually lives through the destruction of the first temple. But his activity actually precedes the end of the book of Kings, as does that of Yechezkel, who had been exiled to Babylon in an earlier wave and actually becomes a leader of the Babylonian community on the eve of the destruction of the first temple. That is to say that Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, and Yechezkel, Ezekiel, chronologically speaking, actually belong not after the book of Kings, but within the book of Kings. Or to put it differently, the distinction between Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, on the one hand, and Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, on the other hand, is not a chronological distinction as much as it is a stylistic distinction, which is to say, as I pointed out, the first half, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings, are written as historical narrative in linear fashion, in the form of prose. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, on the other hand, are written in the form of poetry, and they are not arranged necessarily in a linear fashion. This, of course, leads us to the final part of the section of prophets in the Hebrew Bible, which is referred to in Hebrew as treyasar, or 12, and sometimes in English, again confusingly, referred to as the 12 minor prophets. There is a selection, a collection of 12 prophetic writings, each one rather short in length, which constitute the final section of Nevi'im. In short order, I will just mention their names: Hosea, Yoel, Amos; Ovadiah, Yonah, Micha; Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah; Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. These are referred to as Treyasar, or the 12 minor prophets, but it is not their message which is minor. What makes them minor, so to speak, is the length of their books. Isaiah is a very long book. Currently, it is 66 chapters. Jeremiah is 55. Ezekiel is 48. These are lengthy books. Within the 12 minor prophets, many books are 2 or 3 or 4 chapters, 5 or 6, and at most 9, 10, 11, 12, perhaps a little bit longer than that. 14, I believe, is the longest book in Treyasar. Of course, they are dwarfed, in other words, by Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel. Or as the Gemara puts it, as the Talmud puts it, the reason why these 12 were collected in a single volume is because of their concise length. Because of their concise length, in order to ensure their preservation, they were edited or put together as a single volume. But the 12 minor prophets were not all active at the same time. Within the 12 minor prophets themselves, there is a chronological order, which is to say, Hosea is the earliest, Malachi is the latest. The other 10 in between roughly unfold chronologically between those two ends of the spectrum. Next time, we will return to consider the 12 minor prophets briefly as we place the book of Jonah in its historical context. Thank you.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.